Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You are the first to arrive.
I was late. You know, you think you have 10 minutes left, and you think what you're going to do won't take 10 minutes, and then you look up, and it's past the time. So that's what happened.
Well, it's, you know, part of the preparation for Shabbat. So.
Right. Well, I was actually burning my challah, and it smelled, you know, the ones that, the part that you take and bless, and it smelled so good. I think that's what was, didn't want to let the smell go.
I hear you. Anna, are you still there?
Yes,
Okay, because it goes quiet, as you know. You're not sure if you're connected or not.
I know I had two questions, but I needed, every time we get on the phone, I can't remember what they are. So the next time, I'm just going to have to write them down so I remember. Oh, I remember one that is general that I can just ask you. In the Sefer Yetzirah class, should we ask you a question about one of your episodes? Or is that something we should do privately with you? The episodes, I mean, experiences with your meditation.
You should ask the question, and if I feel that it's needs to be done privately, I'll just explain that.
Okay.
But you can never be sure, because what you might think is a personal meditation is really a principle that needs to be expressed to others. But sometimes you'll ask, and it needs to be a private one. So let me be the decision maker on that.
Okay.
And obviously, I hope you won't take offense if I say it needs to be done private.
No, not at all. I really don't, you know, take offense to anything you tell me. I figure even if it's something I don't agree with, I would tell myself, well, I don't agree with it yet.
I like that.
There is a rumor right now going around. I've gotten two emails, well, text, asking my opinion that supposedly the red heifer has been okayed and that they're going to sacrifice it at the end of the month. So I kind of did a few little, you know, Googles, and I see just the same thing that I always see. You know, they say they have some, and I mean, it's every year you hear the same story. So,
yeah.
But I said, just, you know, I sent them what I found. That was just June the 20th, which wasn't, you know, like just a couple of months ago. And I said, you just have to keep abreast. Also, in one of my emails today, it said that Israel had a vaccine for the COVID.
It's going into human trials.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the 189 worldwide vaccines under development.
Yeah, I know. But I would feel more comfortable with the one coming from Israel than I would anywhere else.
Yeah, I understand. There is a promotion of a prophecy that's not, obviously it's not what they're saying, but the prophecy they're promoting is that the COVID is the final plague, and that Mashiach is coming this coming year. And the cure for the COVID will come from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all part of the, you know.
Right. Yeah. You keep it in and you wait and watch.
there's a wonderful, it's a midrash, but it's actually some historical stories about Shabtai's Tzvi, where the, you know, his promoter, because he didn't really say it himself, his promoter was promoting him as the Mashiach, and the worldwide the Jewish world accepted the promotion, and people literally sold their houses, and they were moving to Israel. And that's when, you know, he was arrested by the Muslims in Turkey, in Constantinople. And he was given the choice of converting to be a Muslim or to be killed. And so he converted, and that just destroyed all of these people who were moving to Israel. So, but the real story about this is that what they said afterwards, his supporters said afterwards that he was coming back because he literally did that so he could go into hell and combat the Satan.
Mm.
And there were people who accepted all of that. And you're hearing very similar stories from very different Orthodox rabbis with huge followers. Nobody's criticizing the stories and relating it to back to that historical pattern that is, every time there's a false Messiah, there are people who are following, people who are accepting.
Has joined.
Aspect. So it's not a question of just waiting and watching. You have to express what is the real issue. What will bring Mashiach? And what will bring Mashiach is Teshuvah. What will bring Mashiach is the promotion of the verse Ein Od Milbado. There is none like, everything is Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
So even the false Messiah, it's part of the testing process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a question of waiting to see what will happen. It's recognizing that this is part of the testing process. And how do you respond to it is part of the test.
Well, you remember one of your handouts at least 2 years ago, where it was you had given the example of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and of course all the things that Elijah did, and the fire came down and lapped the water and everything. But what
right.
if the Muslims would do the same thing? Would you follow that? And that's kind of what I mean by waiting and watching. Watching to me and waiting and seeing is evaluating. And because, I mean, it wasn't a week ago with a conversation with Judy that we were going to have a lot of tests, and each one of the tests are going to get harder to evaluate, I guess you'd say, discern, you know, whether, because it's not going to look like we think it's going to look.
No, it's going to be very different.
Yeah.
And this coming year, as we discussed on the last Sunday, that
right.
the coming year is a potential redemption. It is the year of redemption. Just mm-hmm. only if the nation is ready. But I believe we have some other people who have joined us in the middle of this conversation.
So
let us begin today's class. And if you didn't understand what we were talking about, use that as a motivation to come earlier.
Baruch Hashem.
I'm not being critical. I'm just explaining. So we are studying the Sulam commentary from the Zohar, Parasha Vayera, Pasuk 234. We will first say Elishem Yehud, and we will be recognizing that this is the deep Zohar class, where we delve into each verse quite extensively. Hashem Yehud Kutcha Berichu Ishkite Bid Hilu Urchimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urchimu Leachda L'Shem Yud He Bavave V'Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'Yehino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kolenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kolenei Hu Shavar Achar Ki Hu Likzot Haaretz Shabit L'Yistakala Uvado Dvar Nash Ulashkacha Bekol Ma'adi Avde B'nei Nasha B'alma Tachat Kol Hashamayim Yire Mistakel V'chamei L'kol Chad V'chad. The translation: there is another explanation of the verse, for he looks to the ends of the earth, which is that he observes the makings of man and watches closely over what people are doing in the world. He sees under the whole heaven, which means that he watches and keeps an eye on each and every person. In my commentaries, the pasuk is clear as written, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, it's almost a repeat of yesterday.
It is. So why do you think it's coming? Why do you think it's being repeated?
Well, because it's important, and I think we need to understand the code words of the ends of the earth, being each person.
And each person has to understand the code words from their own perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think eventually you get to the point where at one time you see yourself as part of the world, I know for me at this age, I'm seeing myself having to stand before Hashem, you know, just me and Hashem. It's not just words, it's not just actions, it's thoughts. And I think getting at that level, and I mean, you could say one day you're going to have to stand before Hashem, but we literally are standing before Hashem right here in this earth.
Not only not just on this earth. We're standing in front of Hashem each and every instant that He recreates the world.
Mm-hmm.
Would anybody else like to ask questions or make a comment? Are there questions, or should I go on to 235?
You know, this reminds me of course, I always go to the Matrix because it impressed me so much how much it was like the world. And in one part, the main character is brought before the person that actually created the whole scenario, the whole world, and he thinks he's the only one, and it's like it's been recreated six times over, and
right.
he actually gets to see six different versions of himself, and this is what this particular Parsuk reminds me of. It's hard to imagine that every day you go to bed at night, and in the morning that it's, or when 24 hours, 12 hours, whatever, that the whole scenario has changed depending on what you have done the previous day.
Well said.
Thank you.
Now, the question is, and this is an element of trust, learning to trust Hashem. Hashem creates the world every instant, which means the thought that you have, the history in your mind that you call your past, your life experiences. Are they correct? Or were they changed as part of the new creation? And with that, I'm going to go on to verse 235.
Well, let me ask a question there. And at that moment of the new creation, is the person, another every individual, a new beginning for that person? In other words, are they recreated anew?
What do you think?
Well, I think it depends on what they did the night before in their Tisha B'Av when they did the bedtime Shema. And if that part of that soul,
I've said this a couple of times before, but it's really very difficult to hear and to understand. If I have a desire to President of the United States, Chas v'Shalom, but let's say I had that desire, and you had that same exact desire, you want to be President of the United States, can we both be President of the United States? Actually, we can, but not at the same time. So what God does when He recreates the world each instant is to take all of these desires and balance them versus the other desires. So if I want to be president of the United States right now, which is a typical Western value, immediate gratification, mm-hmm. and you want to be president of the United States right now, immediate gratification, how does Hashem balance that? Well, he balances it by recreating both people with a slightly modified desire. One that wants it right now and one that wants to develop the skills to be able to be the president. So are they the same people that they were the instant before?
Yeah.
Can the world be recreated instantly with everybody being exactly the same? Then there would be no development. There would be no spiritual growth. As I started earlier, and many people missed it because it was just Hannah and I on the call at the time, and there was this question, but the essence of what brings the redemption is the consciousness, Ein Od Milvado. There are three words. Ein is nothing. Od is additional nothing. But also Od includes the negative system. As the first chapter of Genesis, when it says in day three, where he says, Meod, three times, he's basically saying very twice, additional, but it's very good twice, yeah. Very twice, with the word Meod. And the word Meod, this Kabbalists teach us, is the essence of the negative system and the creation of the negative system. And so Ein is nothingness, which is the Ein Sof. Ein and Ein Sof. Mm-hmm. Od is the negative system. So you have the right and the left. Nothingness, which is Ein Sof, is the right column. Od is the left column. Milvado is the balancing of the two. And this is what will bring Mashiach, when people understand there is nothing but Hashem. There is nothing outside of Hashem. There is nothing inside but Hashem. Verse 235. Tachatze ke wandecha makut shabarichu Ovadin diistom Yamora shadar lon linun Malakin lecha bala li sedom maketiv v'yar olot tamalish kinta v'kiman yakil v'mecheme shekinta elachama zacharach adnaher dekasalka al reshayu. Uftein vayomer hine, nadonai by aleph dalid. Kimadit mar uvgin shekinta hahu nehiru. Dinaher ka amar suru na el beit avdechem. The translation. Come and see. As a result of the Holy One, blessed be He, seeing the actions of Sodom and Gomorrah, He sent forth those angels to destroy Sodom. It is written, and Lot seeing, which means that he was seeing the Shekhinah. And he asks, but who can possibly see the Shekhinah? And he replies, he saw a light shining and rising high above their heads. And then he said, behold now, Adonai, my master, spelled with an Aleph and Dalet, which is the name of the Shekhinah. Thus, for the sake of the Shekhinah, namely that certain illumination that shone upon their heads, he said, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house. My commentary, the Pasuk is clear, is written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. The name of the Shekhinah being Aleph Dalet is a very big secret. First, it translates as a door to unity. When adding the Nun, Yud, it becomes my fallen Shekhinah, or my fallen doorway to unity. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I don't understand my falling, the meaning of my fallen doorway.
What's the essence of the letter Nun?
Falling. I understand that, but I don't understand the meaning of my falling. Is it?
What's the meaning of the yud at the end of a word?
My.
How do you spell Adonai?
Aleph Dalet. Nun. Yud.
So now you have where that phrase comes from.
I know, but I don't understand. Understand what it means, that your doorway has fallen.
What happened when Adam and Chava sinned?
Okay. Their doorway to the spiritual world moved them to another dimension on the earth.
They moved into the physical world. And who came with them?
The Shekhinah. Okay. Okay, so the beautiful daughter, I think in Psalm 145, her beauty's within. That
right.
Could very be a code for the Shekhinah then, and the Shekhinah desiring to be able to, I always think of, unite with. Back to the spiritual world with all of us.
And that's exactly the process, isn't it?
Yes, okay.
But we have to recognize that my fallen doorway to unity, the Shekhinah is the doorway to bring us back into that spiritual unity, the higher spiritual world. And what happens? How does the soul leave the body that we learn in reincarnations?
How does the body?
The soul has a view of the Shekhinah. The person, this pasuk is saying, who can see the Shekhinah? Because that's what happens. If you see the Shekhinah, the soul leaves the body. It follows the fallen doorway back into unity. Everything is connected, everything is unified, and everything is Hashem.
Right.
Enot milvado.
And when we say the Shema and put our three fingers over our eyes, it makes the Shem, which is the unity of the three bonds. Yes, okay, I can see it now.
And what do you put over your eyes when you put the three fingers over your forehead?
You put the Shin.
That's the Shin, the three fingers. But
mm-hmm.
What do you do?
And
the
little finger.
And the fourth finger.
Yeah, the little finger.
Little finger is the unit.
Right.
And the dalet is formed by the thumb in the, as it you bend it over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you are creating the name Shaddai, which is what? The name associated with Yesod. How are you?
Hi.
I'm well. We're out of time.
Okay. It's a good lesson. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Shalom Gadol to everyone. And we will have an interesting class at 7 o'clock. Shalom.
Shalom.